Tonight's Bible study is going to be based on transforming our lives in Christ rather than conforming them to a group or to a church or to an individual. One of our main texts tonight will be found in the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's what it says, the commandments of men. Other versions say the traditions of men. Some of your newer versions, I looked them up today, will go even further, and they'll go the precepts of men coming in. This would plague the New Testament. The Apostle Paul would stand up against this, which today we call legalism. Legalism is, once we have that initial relationship where we come to Christ, somebody immediately is trying to tell us, in order to be holy, in order to be righteous, we have to start to act under certain precepts that are called holiness. Another main passage of Scripture that deals with this issue is found in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Very important Scriptures. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I first came to Christ, I used to wear, you know, like scapulars and everything else. I came and I was a Catholic, basically. And as I got introduced to more and more evangelicalism, I had a guy tell me to shave my beard. It's like Castro at that time. I had all kinds of people tell me all kinds of stories about, you know, what's righteous. I had a pastor come to my young church in Boston and preach to be like the Apostle Paul. You want to be him. You want to look like the righteous. You want to live like the righteous. And I said to him afterwards, I said, well, to be like the Apostle Paul doesn't mean we wear a toga and sandals. It means that our heart is full of love for God and for the lost, for people. Because I was starting to get to a point where I was going, man, this is wrong to put people under these doctrines of men and they have to conform. Somebody comes to a Christian group, they start to adapt the mores of the group. They begin to incorporate the little sayings of the group, the idiom of the group. And it can very easily look like, whoa, this guy's getting it. This person's coming along, right? They're not swearing anymore. They're stubbing their toe and they're not going, saying some expletive. But that's got nothing to do with it. What this says, as you give your body, as you give yourself over to the kingdom, you begin to transform, which is the inside of the cup, the inside world starts to go more toward Christ, and we start to become more loving, tolerant, tender, gentle, patient. We start to live in the fruit of Christ. Conforming is that, you know, I went to a heavy Pentecostal church. Women were told, your skirt goes down to your knee. I mean, you'd get questions, the middle or the end of the knee? I mean, it would be like everybody with the good-looking gals, they want that skirt up a little further. But when I look at it in retrospect, it's absolutely insane that you can please God, by conforming yourself to people that you think are righteous. So you start to talk like them and act like them. When I was in Boston, I was about the 10th row back, and I seen a major hypnotist at Boston College. He was on the stage. A spotlight was on him. He's elevated. He's got a really snazzy dress about him, and he's a smooth talker, and he's the only one with a microphone. This guy was sitting in front of me, and this guy starts to hypnotize people, and he gets 10 on the stage, right? And he's got them doing the chickens and all that stuff. He's telling them things, and they're doing it. And then he goes, and he looks at the audience, and he says, inevitably, somebody always gets hypnotized in the audience at one of my demonstrations. He said, if you are under the command of my voice on a count of three, I want you to slump and put your head down. One, two, three. This guy right in front of me. He's under, man. He said, okay, when I say 10, you're going to think that the person next to you lit a match under you, but you're not going to hit him. He goes on with his demonstration. Okay, I'll crow like a chicken. Get your wings out there. And he's got people, everyone's laughing. They're laughing. All of a sudden, he goes, 10. And this guy in front of him jumps up just like he had a fire. Looks at the gun, and you could see it on his face. He wanted to hit him, and he stopped. Now, who was the actor? Was it the guy that got up and jumped, or was it the conformity to this prevalent, powerful, charismatic hypnotist? Who was really acting things out? It was the psychiatrist. It was the hypnotist. This guy was a puppet. I seen that. I was given a study one time, and this person was just lauding over me. It was like I could just see by his eyes. He was fascinated the way I was given the study and talking. And I looked at him, and I said, you're going to get a headache in 1 minute. And I kept on teaching. And all of a sudden, the guy was going, ugh. He just was holding his head. And I explained to him afterwards. I said, God doesn't want you hypnotized by leaders or by groups. He wants you converted. He wants your soul. Not, oh God, I'm pleasing Joe, or I'm pleasing the church. I'm pleasing an intermediate relationship there. I'm part of the group dynamic. I'm going back to the womb. My fear and doubt to be an individual, it's too hard to have real faith. So I'm just going to act like I'm supposed to and fit in and conform. Right? Once I knew this, I was questioning how many people have a bigger relationship with the church than they do with Christ. How many people don't have a totality in their Christian walk? It's dedication means they're dedicated to the pastor. Dedication means they're doing what they're supposed to do. You know, churches love people pleasers. Oh, they just love that gal who'll do anything, like a good boss. Oh, can you stay? I can stay. Can you do this for me? Can you take this home? Yeah, I can take it home for you. I'm just such a nice girl, or I'm just such a nice guy. I'll do it for you. I'll neglect my family, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do because I want to please. Right? That's a people pleaser. That's a lot of us had to go to treatment for stuff like that, right? Okay. Here comes somebody in a church who doesn't want to go through the angst, doesn't want to go through the real doubt if the Bible's there or not, doesn't look anything up on the internet, doesn't struggle to be a Christian, just wants to buy into it, right? I believe anything. The next thing you know, they can look like the best Christian in the church, but who's really acting? The hypnotist. Then this guy explained to us, he said, you can put a quarter on people and burn a hole, a burner skin. He said, that's how deep some people will go under, right? So I always knew that. after that, I said, oh my God, real faith is also real study. It's real prayer. You know what prayer does to you every time you pray? You know what you do when you pray on your own? When you pray on the way to work, or you get a take a walk and you pray, or when you get away from the group and you pray, it's like pouring cold water on your mind. Because one of the easiest techniques in Christianity or any cult is to belong. Everyone is warm and everyone is sweet and everything's planned. I've got all this going for me. My life is just working in accordance with it, right? That can happen. We don't want that. Christ doesn't want that. That's why when I teach next week on being born again, it is so important to have an existential experience and your own walk with God. God only comes to the heart of the individual. He does not come to the group. And he wanted to get everybody that was going to be a part of a group within the realm of this individual, independent relationship that they have with God. And that they do not do things out of a yes. We wear dresses in this church. The women here in this church wear dresses. Women in this church, they wear their hair long. Women in this church, when they come to a service, they got a veil on. Women in this church, when they come to the church, they got a doily on their heads. And the guys in this church, we wear long sleeves. We don't show our arms and all that. We're not sexy. I was in churches like that. I preached in a church like that in Fort Worth, Texas. They wouldn't let their men wear long or short sleeve shirts in the summertime. And they were running about 2,000. And I was like, this is insane, man. This is insane. That's not transforming. That's not being in Christ. That's not following the dictums of your renewed conscience because you're transformed. Because you are in a situation with your walk with God that your inward cup is being washed and you're making real moral choices about your life, not conformed ones, not pet little doctrines that somebody put in your head, not subliminal ones that somebody told you. This is how a Christian acts. Right? This is, okay, who's pulling the strings here? Who's the puppet and who's the master? When we get in Christ, we are to get a renewed conscience. Dedication doesn't become, yeah, I'm working at the pastor's, I'm fixing his basement up. You know how much of that I've seen in my denominational experiences? I was at one guy's church and I preached there, and he weighed about 350 with four chins, and she went about 375 with five. And I stayed there in their bedroom, you know, my own bedroom in their home. I had a bed. They let me stay, and they're nice people. They preached, they paid me good and all that. But I got up in the morning, and there was like, I bet you there were five people. One was making the bacon, one was making the donuts, one was doing this. Somebody else was vacuuming. And I was around there for long enough, I went, oh my God in heaven. Now, when those people were doing all that, they think they're the most dedicated people in the world. Boy, am I serving the Lord, right? You know what a lot of them even do? They neglect their own kids. They neglect their own family. They start to give tithes to an institution that doesn't even hardly need it because they're so big, so they can build another wing while they've got a cousin that's been laid off and not helping them. Well, I'm serving the Lord. Here's my mindless money. I don't know where and who it's going for. I just know I go to this church and I'm giving it rather than having to go, okay, I've got some extra money. Who needs it? Where can I give it? Where can I make a free will choice that comes from me? Because Christianity does not go on autopilot. We're to be transformed, not conformed. This is what I want with the table of the Lord. These are the kind of teachings that people who come examine themselves in their faith and ask, why am I doing what am I doing? Do you know yourself? How do you know yourself? How do you know yourself if you spend time with an illusion? How do you know yourself if you spend time with a Barbie doll or a Ken? How do you know yourself if all you are is an amalgamation of the world around you? And if you're in a Christian church and you're acting like it, you know, hallelujah. You know what hallelujah means? But you're saying it. Well, you should know it. In other words, even your response should not be conditioned. You know? Now, a church that's got all this conformity, they start to know what's going on. A pastor can almost do this. It's time to clap. Okay. You know? Okay, it's time to sit now. Let's see. There's a weeping spirit here tonight. You can just, there's a little old lady. You know? People just all of a sudden, yeah, I get it. I get it. So when I gave up my license as a preacher, as a Pentecostal preacher, I went to an event. I was asked to speak there. And I said, folks, I said, we got Pavlov's dog going in these churches so much. We call people to altars, and they come like zombies. And I brought my organ player, Randy, and I said, start playing Just As I Am. And he's got a really sweet voice. Just as I am. He started playing the organ. The Leslies are there. And I said, now watch what I can do here. Watch how many people come up to the altar. I say, okay, you out there, do you really know the Lord? Do you really know him? Are you sitting there today? And do you have any doubt that you could be lost? I'm asking you to come on up here. And about four people just got up and started walking down the aisles. I could have told them to start barking. Okay, bark, bark for the Lord. This is the kind of like stuff that starts to come in when we don't have this solid totality of an experience with Christ, where I know Jesus Christ for my own life. I'm seeking him truly as an individual, not as somebody who's conforming. That's why I've made up my mind. Even if I'm with people, I don't care if this thing grows or not. You're going to figure out what's a swear word or a bad word. You are going to figure out what music you can. Brother Joe, can I listen to Hendrix? No, you can listen to the Doors. Can I listen to the Beatles? Yeah, you can listen to the Beatles. Can't listen to Stones. When you have Christ, what do you have? A conscience. The word conscience comes from the word consciousness. You're a big girl. You're a big boy. You walk in God accordingly. You begin to come to a point in you where you're no longer under rules, traditions, regulations. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be polite. If I go to a church that has a certain tradition, it's not going to hurt me to go that route, right? It's not going to hurt me to do that. That doesn't mean that I can't have a sense of gentleness toward people's ways. The Apostle Paul, when he went to any culture, he abided by certain regulations that culture had got. But he was not under them. There's the difference. He was not under them. A person that starts to become hypnotized starts to have a relationship. Not only do they have a relationship with God, and a lot of times that can go on back burner. A lot of times you can go, I'm going to church. That's all I need. I know I'm in the faith. But they also can have this relationship with conformity until their mind isn't quite where it belongs in your relationship with God. That's why prayer and your own personal walk is so important. That's why the born-again thing is so important. That's why you need to have a hold of Jesus Christ. So if the pastor runs away with the secretary or the churches that you go to fold and you find out that the pastor was extorting or whatever else, you never have a faith that can be taken by what other people do. what other people do is their relationship with God, right? And I've been part of churches that ran away with their secretary. I recently, when I was in Boston, my friends, the pastor committed adultery with his own secretary, and she left her husband, bunch of kids involved in it and the rest of it. And one of my good friends stayed to the very end, right to the very end of it all. You know, it was like, you know, come on, man. Oh, you know, bark now. You know, can't you have to have a walk with God. And then if something falls apart, your faith is never contingent on anything except your relationship with Jesus Christ. Anyway, I got to finish that story, you know. These people are coming to the altar, right? And the place got mad at me. I mean, I got through it. But I think everybody really learned a major lesson concerning it. And I told them, I just said right out, is this what we want, folks? Do we want group dynamics? And yeah, we're not a cult. We're not a cult. We're not the children of God, or we're not the Moonies, or we haven't taken people onto some little island and or almost got them in bars and got them in orange rings and are dancing around, and we're not quite doing that to them. But you know, aren't we a little? So the main thing is that I would rather put up with people swearing. I would rather put up with people making mistakes. I would rather put up with people not always conforming to what I would like at a study or not there or whatever, but have a real faith than ever have a faith where you're push the button and there you are. A dedication that's not real. A walk with God that's incorporated too much hypnosis. Too much group conformity. It's up to you if you want to wear a beard, if you don't want to wear a beard, if you want to wear earrings. I've been so part of churches where I've seen so many people take their makeup off. Real fundamentalists take women, just sit there and think they can't wear eye makeup or they can't do this, right? The reality is that you have to walk in Christ with your own conscience, right? Jim Jones, he took him from one little city to Santa Rosa and took him to Frisco, and then where did he get him? Got him right down there in the jungles, right? That we always have a walk with Christ that's based on a individual conscience. The Church of Jesus Christ is not built on a group. The Church of Jesus Christ is built that every human being is made in his image and that he calls them individually. My sheep hear my voice, John 10:30, right? He calls you and you hear it. And what happens to so many people is once they hear that call, the next thing you know, the church starts to call them as well. And this is what you got to do. This is how you got to behave. This is what it's all about. This is where you're going to come. And so many people get wrapped up and bow-tied into a world of conformity, and they become intolerant. They start to judge others who aren't acting like that, who do not have those outside standards. It can become a very vicious thing, a group hypnosis. This is what churches do. They start to paw parrot each other's ideas. They get to become part of a group. The next thing you know, there's a cloak hanging over. So one of the number one principles that we want here, right, is that God calls the individual from the beginning of their walk to the end of their walk, which is a responsibility for your own actions. It's a responsibility for your own faith. There is no such thing as a conformity in Christ. It's a false kind of humility. It's not what God intended with his church. He always wants us aware with a real relationship with him, right? Now, We can have a church. We can have a group. We can have people. We can have worship. But how does he want us? Awake or asleep? When that guy was going to hit that guy in front of me, right? He looked like he was so active. But what was he really? He was asleep. And somebody had a hold of his subconscious, right? That is not the faith that Jesus Christ gives us, is that you can never go to Guyana. You can never go with Jim Jones. You can never go against the Bible. You can never go against your own conscience. A real faith is not, I believe it because Joe said it. I believe it because he said it. I believe it because she said it. A real faith is, I believe you, Lord Jesus, because of my integrity, because it's touching me, because my soul knows the truth and I've made up my mind to follow you. So I'm not going to follow the will of men. I'm going to follow Christ. So a real church is made up of real individuals. Because you can see how easy things can come in, right? You can see how easy traditions and false doctrines can come in. You know, Joe said it. Andrew, am I of the body? Woo, woo, woo. Ooh, oh, that's it, Jerry. That's it. You got it, Jerry. Right? We don't want that, right? We don't want that. And another thing is, I'm going to teach a lot of times against the subconscious. What I mean is that we all have come through churches. I'm going to give Bible studies on communion and a lot of subjects that are going to go against a lot of evangelicals, a lot of Protestants, a lot of Catholics. But it's not that I'm against those churches at all. I believe that those people are walking in the light they've been given, right? But we're going to be walking in the light that the Bible tries to give us with what I know, and I want to bring Scripture. I always want to bring Scripture into studies. So if you get something, try to be open to it. I'm not trying to take away anything from anybody. I could go to, if my brother was buried in a Catholic church, I've already got my grave in a cemetery next to him, right? I'm going to be buried in a Catholic cemetery. I don't care. I'm not. Somebody says, Joe, you're against a Catholic. No, I'm not. Joe, you're against a Protestant. You're talking like a Catholic. No, I'm not. But everyone's got churches that people believe in Jesus Christ. He knows those people, right? I don't. Do you think Christ is coming again for a building? Do you think Christ is coming for only the Lutherans? What kind of a God is that? It's a mystical body of Christ. Those that Christ has called out from the world are the ecclesia. They're his church. He knows them and they know him. That's what it's about. Because the last thing the church wants to bring you into is higher criticism or the Bible isn't real, but Jesus is. And the last thing that we want to do is see sheep eating thorns and thistles when they're supposed to be in the 23rd Psalm, where Christ leads them into green pastures and still waters, right? We want to have our soul fed. We want to be full of praise. We want to be full of love. We want to be full of Christ and his reality, the hope that, you know, we're in his love. Am I telling you not to go to any church? Go to any church, anywhere you can go to. Am I telling you not to pray in the woods? Don't you pray in the woods, Chris. When you pray here. Make sure I can see it, right? The reality is that we want to have a group of people that are completely based on your individual walk with God.